Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. Good spirit in the house of the Lord this morning. Praise God, I'm always excited to come to church. Don't forget we have fellowship right after the service. In fact, the service isn't over until you go home, right? Church isn't over until you say amen and walk out the door. So we're going to have, I guess, tacos. And so we'll expect you all to go downstairs and enjoy the food and the fellowship and love on one another. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, bless the preaching of your word. Bless the hearing of it. God, do and speak in us, God, all that you want us to know and hear today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was driving down one morning on Lonsdale Road on the way. It was about 3 minutes from my house. And I got a thought from the Lord that I believe he wanted me to share. And I was reflecting a little bit how when I read, I'll be doing my morning devotions and something will stand out. And then I end up preaching at the church. And then I think about, like, well, yeah, I just got excited about something and I think it's what the Lord wants me to preach. But then I immediately remember, boy, the Lord speaks a lot of things to me when I'm reading the word. But one of those things that I read stands out, and then I know that's what the Lord wants me to preach. So the same with this traveling down the road. I mean, I get random thoughts all the time, but this one that came is like, this is what the Lord would have me to preach this morning. So 1 Samuel 3:1, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. So that word vision, before we get going here, just means dream, means revelation, means oracle. So it wasn't too long ago on a Wednesday evening Bible study, we learned how the early church, they were actually in existence a couple decades had gone by before they ever had started having a written New Testament, you know, as the apostles started writing these letters. We learned some in the late 50s and then early 60s, that's first century. And then from there they started passing them around. But they went by a couple decades without the written New Testament, though they had the Old Testament. And we also know that Moses, he was the one that wrote the first five books of the Bible, they call it the Torah. And so all of the time up to Moses, there was no written word of God for the people on the face of the earth. But I don't want us to ever think for one moment that there was never no word of God. Because there always was the word of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So before it was ever penned, the word of God lived, and he was real. And it's just as real as the truth is. So it was that word that spoke our universe into existence. That's the power of the word. So we read in our text this morning that there was a time when the word of the Lord was precious. When you interpret this word, keeping it in context with the verse, you learn that this word precious means rare. In fact, the New King James Version uses the word rare, that the word of God was rare in those days. There was no open vision. So it could mean that there wasn't that many copies of the Torah to pass around, because that's really all they would have. You know, Samuel's too young at this point to write 1 and 2 Samuel. He's only 3 years. He's only a young man. And so it could mean that there just wasn't enough of the written Torah to pass around. Or it could mean that there were not many prophets who proclaimed it and brought attention to the word. Or it could mean that there were not too many who were constrained by the word of God. Not too many people that were constrained by the word of God. For we learn in the last chapter of Judges, before you move into 1 Samuel, it says, in those days, this is Judges 21:25, in those days there was no king in Israel. I'm not necessarily bringing attention to that, but to the second half of this, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So that's a people doing their own thing. And they're not, it's not about the Lord's business. It's about their business. It's about their life. They have not submitted themselves to the word of God, and they do not allow the word of God to dictate their life. And we know when if a society ignores the word of God, then you could say about that society that the word of God is rare, because nobody's living by it. Nobody's paying attention to it. Nobody's being challenged by it, convicted by it. No one's speaking it. And now also in a society like that, you'll have utter chaos if that continues. So in America, one thing is certain. The written word of God in physical form, in written form, is not rare. We could possibly have more Bibles in America than the rest of the world has together. You know, just think of how many Bibles you have. If I started digging through, I probably got 10, 15, maybe, I don't know. Some are packed in the back of the, some are old and worn out. You know, used to have this little skinny, thin line one when my eyes were good. I liked to preach out of. Now I need a magnifying glass to read the thing. So just sitting there in a box somewhere, starting to find that stuff as we're packing here. But it's not rare, so we know in that sense the Word of God is not rare in America. We also have plenty of preachers and teachers today proclaiming the Word of God, though maybe too often it's their own interpretation, their own inversion of it. But I think some of us would feel like the Word of God is rare in this nation. You ever feel that way sometimes? You know, America's loaded with the written word of God. You turn on the TV, you turn on the radio, the word of God is coming at you from all different directions. But sometimes you just like, man, there's such a famine of the word of God. It seems like such a rare thing today to really hear the true word of God preached, the true word of God talked about. What is rare in America concerning the word of God, that it seems there are few who really love and believe the word of God. Just as I challenged this morning, there's a lot of people that say, Lord, I love you, sing it, but do they really? Is it just words? And there's a lot of people who read the word of God, but do they love the word of God? Do they believe the word of God? The word of God is given to us and is meant to be believed. Not just the manual you'll go through. Not just something to get your daily duty and devotion and do. It is expected of us to believe it from the beginning in Genesis to the amen in Revelation. I was watching a video of a guy preaching about against homosexuality or something in front of a church, and the pastor came out and started calling him a Pauline. You know, and what does Jesus say about it? Not what Paul says. And I like to shout at the preacher on the thing, but he couldn't hear me. I was like, God wrote the Bible, right? He wrote it all through the Holy Spirit. So if you're saying, if you're discrediting Paul, then you're discrediting what the Holy Spirit wrote through Paul. And you are saying the Holy Spirit is wrong then in what he said. But I think I can say that, you know, there's a lack of love and belief in the Word of God in America, and there's few that really allow it to have true authority over their lives. You know, if you settle that issue in your life, you'll find it a lot easier to love the Word of God. You just say, you know what, this book's here, it's going to be my authority. And that's just the way it's going to be. And that's the way I'm going to live my life. And you just accept that, pull up your bootstraps, and you find yourself doing it. Praise God. He'll give you the power to do it. And I think I can say this about preachers and teachers, that they don't really believe and embrace the very book that they teach. And they're ready to get up every Sunday and read from it and preach from it, but don't even really believe it. Today, you're a rare bird if you are totally convinced that the Bible is the Word of God. Are you a rare bird this morning? You really believe the Bible is 100% totally the Word of God? It is hard to find believers today who haven't put their own slant on the Word of God to some degree. Today, you could say there's a lot of reading, quoting, preaching, and teaching of the Word of God. But one thing that is similar to the days of Eli and Samuel is that there is a lack of open vision. See, that was tied in with the rarity of the Word of God, is that there wasn't open revelation of it. There wasn't understanding of it, if there was any even preached in those days. There's a lot of man's interpretation involved in declaring the Word of God. 2 Peter 1:16-21 says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Isn't that an awesome thing they got to hear that come from heaven and said about Jesus? Praise God. There's some true witnesses, aren't they? And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arises in your heart. So basically he's saying what I've saying. You submit yourself fully to the authority of the Word of God in your life, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. I don't need preachers. I don't need Christians to tell me what they think something means. I want to know what the Word of God means. And we have the ability to know what the Word of God, because we are in a day we can not have closed vision. We can have an open vision of the Word of God. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So again, there it is. The Holy Ghost is the one that wrote the Bible. Men don't believe the Word of God today because they refuse to believe it. It isn't because you didn't explain it well enough. It isn't because you didn't give them a nice outline and break down the Greek and the Hebrew and really explain things well to them. Men and women don't believe the Word of God today simply because they refuse to believe it. They harden their heart against it. In Luke 16:27-31, "Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father," this is, by the way, the rich man who fared sumptuously while on earth and died and went down in Abraham's bosom on the other side of the chasm. The other side, the bad side of the chasm, of the canyon there. "Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, that send Lazarus. For I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." You know what that tells me? The Word of God is good enough. Amen? But what the Word of God says is good enough. And there's enough authority in it to dictate and lead your life. And he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." That's what we think sometimes. Well, if we could just show them better. You know, men refuse to believe. "And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." So he says if they're going to resist the Word of God. Now, we know that when God reveals himself to people, he does that to draw them into his kingdom. So I'm not, in fact, it would go against my sermon if I was saying we don't need the power of the Holy Spirit. But knowing that God and his word are the same, it has authority over our life. So you can have an abundance of Bibles and an abundance of teachers and preachers and still have the Word of God, a rare thing in our generation, and I think we do. I am so thankful, though, that this church, in this church, we have an abundance of Christians who love, respect, and believe the Word of God. We have many Christians here who follow the Word of God on a daily basis. I praise God for every one of you that you do that, you take that serious. And then, of course, saying it again, that this verse ends by saying, you know, the Word was precious in those days and there was no open vision. These are the words that help confirm the meaning of that whole verse by qualifying what it means to have the word rare. It just means it isn't active. It doesn't mean there's no one ministering through the power of the Spirit. There's no prophet speaking to the people. So the word was rare in those days. In those days, if there is no open vision, then that means there is no one who is moved by the Spirit concerning the Word of God. There is no one who is given understanding of the Word, and there is no one who the Holy Spirit can use to bring forth a thus saith the Lord. And there is no one the Spirit has given dreams to. There's no one the Spirit has given revelation to. There's no one the Spirit has given oracles to. In that day that Samuel was, you know, lived, and Samuel became that. And the Word of God was spoken, and he spoke for God. So again, we can have an abundance of the written Word of God like we do here in America, but lack those who understand it and proclaim it under the unction of the Holy Spirit, under the leading, under the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, you can't separate the Word of God from God, and the Holy Spirit is God. Amen. Amen. It all goes together, one big happy family. And the Word of God is God. Amen. Almost every, we have another issue today, and this is really what the Lord wanted me to focus on, that is similar to the rarity of the Word of God, and that it is a rare thing amongst the church today to believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Almost every preacher will admit that the Holy Spirit is a part of the Trinity, of the triune Godhead. Almost every preacher believes that the Holy Spirit indwells born-again believers. Yet many Christians today are denied the privilege to learn the ministry of the Holy Spirit amongst the born-again believers in the lives of the church. With all the teachings, resources, all the things we can, you know, I can sit down, I can go home and bring up the store on my Kindle and buy a book today before, you know, I could do it right here if I wanted to, right now, just like that. We have all of these things that you can Google it, and you have all of these things, yet we're ignorant, for the most part, the church in America, to the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And this is the reason I believe the Lord gave me this sermon, is to prepare this church and to tell you, to prepare me, because I don't know how to fully operate this way either, but to prepare this church to function under the leading and under the power of the Holy Spirit like we never knew was possible. He wants to do that here in this church. And he gave me the key to the one thing that is missing. This is so utterly simple, you'll just love me for it. I'm not going to tell you what it is right in a minute. But if we correct this, we'll see the ministry, the Spirit's ministry of power, again, to be realized in our day. It seems that the extent of teaching of the Holy Spirit today from all of our brilliant Bible professors is that he is a part of the Trinity. To be adamant about it, just like you and I would be, he is a part of the triune Godhead. But they never really teach you more than that about him. If they really did believe, and I'm sure they do, believe that he is a part of the Trinity, that makes the Holy Spirit a legitimate member of the Godhead, of the triune Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That makes him legitimately a part of it. So he should not be denied his place. He should be elevated to his place. The talk of the Holy Spirit gets people uneasy, gets them a little nervous. I know you don't, because you hear it here all of the time. But if he's really a legitimate member of the Godhead, that means that the Holy Spirit is involved in the life of the believer just as much as the Father is and just as much as the Son is, each having their particular role in the Godhead, yet they are all one. Whatever one's role is, they all share in that together. So the Holy Spirit is not a silent member. In fact, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is one that is the most active in the believer when it comes down to it. It isn't downplaying or putting down the role of the Father, of the role of the Spirit, but it is the function and the ministry of the Holy Spirit is the most active in the believer. It's convicting us. He's convincing us, and he's conforming us, and he's even comforting us. Praise God. If you have comfort this morning, it's because the Holy Spirit is in you and is doing that to you and giving you the peace of God. What has happened in America is that when revival fires have cooled off in the past, there was a decrease in the signs and wonders. There is a decrease in the activity of the Holy Spirit. And another generation grew up in that, under that current church state. And so they become somewhat ignorant to the power of the Spirit of God because they have not seen his power exercised in their day. Rarely has any of us probably here have seen the power of the Holy Spirit on display. You know, we've heard of it, you know, in generations not too long gone. So it gets just as easy, and if not easier, to just concede to the thinking that he doesn't do things like that anymore. Those are days of past. Those are days are long gone. It's always easier to not believe than to believe. So don't think you're something special because you don't believe something about God. It's easy to not believe. It takes courage sometimes to believe the things of God. So instead of the church provoking one another to fully believe the word of God and to stand on what it says about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, it is a lot easier to give in to unbelief that society bombards us with and promotes and excuses away this part of the Godhead, of the Spirit of God. Then to make things worse, you have these very highly educated ministers with all kinds of fancy degrees and letters before their names who go through lengthy dialogue to convince every Christian that will listen to them that the Holy Spirit ministry was just for the first generation church, and he is no longer available to the present day church. And then you know what happens? The Christian that struggles with some unbelief in her heart and a little skepticism, they'll believe these guys. Well, after all, look at their education. Look at all their degrees. Did you hear those words they use? Man, they got to know what they're talking about. It's always better to talk for God than to talk about him with high, fancy, high 30-letter words or whatever they use. What do they call those $1,000 or $100 words or something? So God wants me to say very clearly and very authoritatively to this church. So that means I got to say it loud and forth. No. But God wants us to fully believe in the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. He wants us to give ourselves over to that. He wants us to yield ourselves like we never knew we could. Amen. He wants us to fully depend on his leading. And he wants to one more time pour out his Spirit on this nation. And he's not going to pour out his Spirit out unless there's that available vessel to do that, is willing to receive. But so much of the church today is conditioned toward unbelief. Galatians 3, 2-6 says, "This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Now we're starting to hit on this missing thing that we're talking about that we need in the church. Paul's saying, Did you get it by keeping the law, or did you get it by hearing in faith. Are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministered to you the spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And Hebrews 11:6 says this, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And I want to stop right there. We need to believe that the Holy Spirit is. Amen. If God is, so the Holy Spirit is. Amen. So we must believe in his ministry. Praise God. Do you see that in Galatians? Believing. Having faith. We have to have faith in the Holy Spirit to do what he's going to do and wants to do in your life and in my life and in the life of this church and what he wants to do here in this nation. Ephesians, we cannot excuse him away, not teach that he is no longer available to our generation. Ephesians 4:30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. For those that believe the Holy Spirit is just the power of God, then I never knew you could grieve something that wasn't human. That's something that was just a non-breathing entity. But God, the Holy Spirit, can be grieved. Remember when Peter rebuked Ananias and Sapphira, or Ananias, for lying to the Holy Spirit? He said, then lying to God. Amen? You can grieve and you can lie to the Holy Spirit. He's very much active and a part. And he is doing the work in here more than the Father and the Son is. He's drawing us to conformity to Christ. He's pointing us to give glory to the Father. Amen? Doesn't mean the others aren't at work in our life. But again, they all have their role. Hebrews 10:29. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? The Holy Spirit of God can be insulted. And I believe that's why he's rare today working in the church, because he's been too grieved and he's been too insulted. We want to welcome him into our lives. We want to welcome him into our church. And I understand in this church, in this fellowship, there's Christians in here. And I love every one of you. And I understand you're never really introduced to the ministry of the Spirit in the early days of your Christian upbringing. I'm not so convinced I was as well. But as I also know, some were introduced to extreme views of the Holy Spirit as well, things that weren't of the Spirit of God, but people told what they were. One thing I'm convinced about is that, and this is echoed by some of our fellow preacher friends. We just had one, Daryl Turner, just preaching here not too long ago, and from saints scattered around this nation, that the work God is going to be, that this last day's work is going to be a work that God is going to do. And he is going to do that through his Spirit. Uncle told me a story long time ago. I don't know if I have it exactly right, but you were watching TV and there's one of these crazy evangelists on there, and there was like a young boy maybe up in the line getting prayed for, and the preacher was like hitting him in the head, and he starts crying, and then he's telling, that's the Holy Spirit. Isn't that how it went? He says, what you're feeling, that's the Holy Spirit. He goes, no, it's some knucklehead preacher hitting you on the head, trying to knock you down, and then claiming it's the Holy Spirit. You know what? I know this for sure. If the Holy Spirit's going to come in here and operate, he don't need me doing stupid knucklehead things. Amen? He'll do what he has the power. Amen? Praise God. You know, Jesus, when they came to arrest him, and this is just such one little verse in there. It took me several times of reading before I actually caught it one day. But he said, whom do you seek? And he goes, Jesus of Nazareth. Nobody's touching or anything. And he goes, I am he. And what happens? Bam! All the guards fell over. And then they got up and arrested him. I never could figure that one out. But that's the power of the Holy Spirit. It didn't need somebody coming along hitting anybody, getting in some kind of a line and knocking them and running around and doing foolish things. I know God does some of those things. I know I've read stories of people being slain. I was just reading about the Hebrides revival where the police officer calls Duncan Campbell, I think. We need a preacher to come down here. There's people laying all over the streets by the police department, and they're all on their face repenting and crying out, the Lord, help me, and they needed a preacher to come down. This is a revival that happened in these islands outside of Scotland. Who did that? It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Nothing men can manufacture. Amen. This is the kind of thing God wants to do. He wants to do these kind of things with his Spirit. So these kind of antics have made Christians leery. And so I get it. I'm patient. And it says, after all, God, you're the one that reveals yourself. I can't reveal you. I can only speak for you. But he makes Christians leery on hearing talk of the Spirit and even makes them fearful to go to churches that claim the Holy Spirit moves in their church. So one thing I am glad to tell you is I do not have to convince you of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Praise God, I'm let go of that burden. Praise God, I'm free from that. Thank God I don't have to go around to each and every one of you and sit you down and convince you and demand and command and twist your arms and do all of this stuff to get you to believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I don't have to convince you that he is presently working and powerfully in our meetings, because he's going to do that. Amen? And if there's any doubt and skepticism in you, which I'm sure there is in some of you, God will end that for you. He will come and reveal himself, and he will show himself the way he wants to, just like he did in the early church. And I hope it's none of us falling over dead, because that part of it comes with it too. You start playing games and start grieving and start lying. So, you know what? I don't have to figure him all out for you. He is going to reveal himself to the church. He is going to move with power in such a way that you will know that it is him. I can promise you, I'm not going to manufacture anything. I'm not going to go around trying to do anything silly. Sometimes I'm even hesitant on laying hands on people. I can spot people sometimes. I know, oh, if I lay hands on them, they're going to do something. They're going to do something goofy, you know. And in fact, there was one couple that I got to know at the early days in church, and they'd come up and get prayed for, and I was like, oh, I don't want to pray for them because I know what's going to happen, and they're going to go down. They just do it all at a time, you know, and it's just their habit. And when you do that, there's no way that after a while I'm like, that isn't God. They're just doing that on their own, you know. So I try to avoid that kind of thing, because you know what? I want God to reveal that it is really him. Amen. I don't want to, like, people say, oh, when he shakes his hand, I can feel the power come off, you know. So I'm not going to shake my hands. But I'm going to stand in amazement, just as you all will too. Praise God, because God's going to do this in our day. Hallelujah. Acts 9:31 says, and if the worship team would come up, we're going to sing a couple songs to close this out. Then at the church's rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's doing that. He's working. And in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. And they were multiplied because the Holy Spirit was there working in the people. So all I'm asking from this church this morning is for you to believe with me and with all of us who hear, who believe, that we are going to yet witness in this generation a real genuine move of the Holy Spirit. There's going to be nobody putting on antics or anything. It's just going to be God. We're going to stand in amazement. There really is no other way to break free from any of our religious tendencies that we may have than for a genuine move of the Holy Spirit to come upon us. How did the early church, how did they go from the hard rule of the taskmaster Pharisees, all of these rituals, all of their extra laws and rules they made up that they had to do? And then you read about the church and they went from that to pure liberty. How could they do such a thing? How did they be like us, have to wean through all of the religion that had to get out of my life, you know, as I'm learning the way of the Lord? But they just did it overnight. It's simply because the Holy Spirit came and worked and moved among them and convinced them and led them, empowered them. Hallelujah. And that's what's going to happen, church. It's going to happen. I'm believing that this is going to happen across around America. I believe definitely in Wisconsin and definitely for this church. How can the scriptures be so true that in the last days there's going to be perilous times, people lovers of selves, you know, lovers of money, disobedient children, homosexuality on the rise, hatred, love growing cold, and yet there be such a powerful move of God? It's because God is just going to bring that distinction. There's going to be the kingdom of God, and then there's going to be the kingdom of darkness. No one is in between stuff anymore. What side are you on? You're going to be a spirit-led and moved people of God. Amen? Or are you going to be ushered into darkness? So I want you to sing with me this morning. These two choruses, old choruses. And and I never did tell you the conclusion. The answer to this is to only believe. Just believe it. They lost sight of the goal, and they tried to perfect themselves through the law. And Paul reminds them, wasn't it by faith? Wasn't it because you believed him? Let's believe in again in the power and the ministry of the Holy. And if you never believed it, believe it today. And if you're having a hard time believing it, say, God, help my unbelief. Help me believe for everything you want to do. Let me not be one that hinders here. Let me be not one that grieves here, but let me be one, God, that will move as you move, and I will know it's you. Amen.